Come on, one more time. Give God a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're glad to be back at Harvest this morning. How many of you glad to be in the house today? How many of you glad to be in the house today? Amen. We're going to jump right into our assignment tonight or this afternoon. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And while you're finding that, we're going to start at the first verse. While you're finding that, for those who are just getting acquainted with us, Eddie James Ministries has the assignment to take the message of freedom and hope in Christ throughout the nations of the world through music and performing arts and the preaching of the gospel. But along with that, we have a ministry called Dream Life. Everybody shout Dream Life. And that is the ministry where high school and college age youth, they come to us to find the Lord, but they're coming out of drug addiction, street life, gangs and violence and perverse lifestyles of all kinds. And for many of them to sustain victory, they need a different environment to live in. And God has opened up our hearts and our ministry and our homes. And we have over 95 young people that live with us full time. We have 6 different locations. Our main base is in Cleveland, Tennessee, where we have about 50 that are there. We have a base in Georgia, Columbus, Georgia. We have a base in Florida, the Kerrville, Panama City, Florida area. We have 3 detox centers in East Kentucky that we work with. And God is releasing his glory among those who have been discarded and others said they have no hope. But when they find Jesus, he that be in Christ is a new creation. The old is past and all is made new. How many of you believe that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed? So we've brought about 10 of us that are here. We flew in the other day for an event called The Sound, and we're here this morning. And so those who have been ministering through the music and through the just the musicians and all that, you're looking at a platform of miracles, people whom the Lord has brought out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And I think you should give God a praise for that right now. Come on, let's praise God for that. I want to just jump into this assignment. There's something that I believe the Lord wants to just leave with you before we let you go today. But Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Verse 3, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I want to circle our attention on verse number 3. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." From the time that we are born, the Bible declares that we're born sinners. We're born into sin. Even some of us, very early on in life, we experience trauma. We experience very difficult moments. And I don't know about you, but I know what it means to not only in my own life, but to rescue. I've been doing this since 2002 now, some 16 or so years now, to see young people come into my ministry who just escaped death. Some who we had to bring back to life either through paddles when the doctors was working on them, or the Lord just miraculously brought them back to life, and overdosing and shooting and bullets in their back. And when you get into this kind of an assignment, you see some crazy and interesting stuff. And moments like this is when they come to us having hit rock bottom. And maybe you haven't had a bullet in your chest or your back. Maybe you haven't been an alcoholic, or maybe you haven't done drugs, like some of my kids and some of the people that I've had the privilege of working with. But how many of you know what it's like to be like Jonah in a well? You're at the rock bottom. You've hit rock bottom. Anybody know what it's like to hit rock bottom? Okay, for the rest of you who didn't raise your hands, you're Jesus' first cousin. I understand that. I get it. I know you've been wearing a robe all your life in heaven, and you just came and tried to make us jealous of your walk. But I want to know, can I get a hand for somebody who says, I know what it's like to be messed up. I know what it's like to be in a place where the only place I could turn is God. If that's you, wave your hand at me. And what I love about a God like that is that you're the kind of person that God is after. God says, I have something for you. You come with ashes, he has beauty. He says, I give you beauty for ashes. I give you the oil of joy for mourning. And I give you the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, for a spirit of despair. So I want you to just kind of elbow your neighbor, because I hear the Lord saying, and I want you to tell them, God says, I'll trade you. I'll trade you. I'll trade you. I'll trade you. Come on, elbow and say, I'll trade. God says, I'll trade you. Come on, get that Holy Ghost elbow working and just nudge him and say, God said, I'll trade you. I know you're hurting, but I'll trade you. I know you came in busted and disgusted, but I'll trade you. I know that life has dealt you a bad hand, but I'll trade you. I know that you've been crying, but I'll trade you. I know it's been tough, but God says, I have something better. I have something greater. I have more for your life. If you believe that, shout yes. I'll trade you. I'll trade you. When I looked up the word ashes, it means to lie scattered. It's the powdery residue of what remains after something has been burned or destroyed. Death-like grayness. For mourning, the definition for that is outward manifestations of inward grief or sorrow. Tears. The wearing of black as if you've had a great loss. The hanging of flags at half-mast. Heaviness. This is interesting to me because it says not only to be feeble or to have to be in a very dark state, but it also indicates things are not clear. They're obscure. That things aren't plain. There's uncertainty in your life. That the spirit of heaviness actually is linked to a concept that you really can't see your way through. You don't know how things are going to turn out. You know how things are going to look. And God says if you are in this place where you have ashes, mourning, heaviness, God says, I have beauty for you. I love this because this word beauty indicates an ornament. It's kind of like what you would do for a Christmas tree. You put all these beautiful decorations on it that makes it look like pow, like woo-woo. Like that's awesome, you know? But it also indicates like jewelry, like a necklace of pearls or a nice bracelet or earrings. And God says, I want to adorn you with beauty. I know that you have brought to the Lord the aftermath of what was destroyed, what was shattered, what was broken. But instead of you walking around with that in your hand, I'm going to put pearls on you. I'm going to put gold on you. I'm going to put diamonds on you. In other words, I'm going to put wisdom on you. I'm going to put grace on you. I'm going to put peace on you. I'm going to put the treasures of heaven on your life. You're going to walk around and everyone is going to wonder, why aren't you freaking out right now? It's because God done hooked you up. You brought him ashes. He said, you know what? I got my treasure for you. I want to adorn you, girlfriend, make you look awesome, make you beautiful. Amen. He says, I want to give you the oil of joy. Oil here means to smear. I'm going to move quickly through this. I'm going to anoint, pour out. I'm going to smear the oil of joy, which is gladness, rejoicing. Okay, for mourning, instead of you wearing garments that indicate sorrow, instead of you weeping tears of sorrow, what you've sown in tears, you're going to reap in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And somebody knows the word in this place. Come on, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasure forevermore. I just want you to just touch three, four people around you and say, joy, 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 joy.
I just release joy into your heart. I release a joy in your life. Joy not only when you come to church, but joy as you're driving down the highway. Joy in your house. Joy in your living room. I pray that he will set your feet a dancing. He's turned your mourning into dancing. He's turned your sorrow into joy. Somebody shout joy.
So I'm giving you the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise here indicates that he's going to put a garment, or he's going to clothe you with songs of praise, songs of rejoicing. When I first started singing, I was 9 years old. A lady evangelist put me on a box, on top of a box on the platform of the church we were at, because I was short and skinny with a big head. And she set me on that box. And the song that came out of my heart was, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yeah. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. In a moment where you don't know what your future is going to look like, he's going to clothe you with a song of praise. In a moment when it seems uncertain how your children are going to turn out, how your finances are going to turn out, oh, hallelujah, how your health is going to turn out, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout right now. Don't wait for the, oh, hallelujah, don't wait for the circumstance and the situation to change. You want to start singing anyhow. Rejoice anyhow. Praise in the midst of the storm. Praise in the midst of the trial. Praise in the midst of the tears. Praise him in the midst of your struggle, knowing that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Give God praise. Y'all gonna mess around and have camp meeting in this room, I'm telling you. Boy, it's getting Holy Ghost in here. But he wants to clothe you with a song. Who wants to clothe you? You gotta learn that the power of death and life is in your tongue. So quit going home and cursing your situation. I'm sick of these folks. These children get on my last nerve. I'm about to slap my boss, and I'm tired of what I'm dealing with. Start singing, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Start singing. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. I know it looks crazy right now, but great is thy faithfulness. I know what the statistics say, but great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me. If you know he's faithful, praise him. If you know he's faithful, 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 give him a praise. Come on, Joel, RJ, Larry. We're about to wrap this up here. God said, I'll trade you. I'll trade you. Give me the ashes. I'll give you beauty for ashes. Give you the oil. Oh, hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. God wants a divine change, exchange. Divine exchange. He wants to trade what you have for what he has. He loves you.
and what he has is better. I want to highlight one thing that hinders the trade. One thing. I have a few young men that the Lord has done some work in their lives, and I want them to help me get to that one thing. That one thing that hinders the trade. This is RJ. Everybody say, hey, RJ. RJ, how old are you?
I'm 24.
What age were you when you first did drugs?
I was 12 years old.
And when was the last time you did drugs?
4 months ago.
Yeah. 12 years doing drugs, clean for 4 months. You ought to praise him for that. Come on. All right. We're brief. How old was your mother when she had you?
My mother had me when she was 14.
Talk about the various challenges that were in your family, your grandmother and auntie and your mom.
My grandmother was a crackhead, and my aunt was a prostitute. And because of that, they had HIV, and we was known as the HIV family in the neighborhood. And because of that, I had a witness, my family was being killed twice. And on top of that, I never grew up with my father.
No father, family, and they had to move you to protective custody.
To North Carolina.
For the things that your family had been through. Talk about what gang that you were a part of.
I was Gangster Disciple, 7-4 GD.
You ended up going to prison, and what did you go for?
I went in for kicking in doors, and also I prostituted myself, and my number was 12443.
And the Lord has done a work in your life. You found the Lord. God has done great things in your life. Talk about what God has done for you since you've been here.
Well, one, I got a father figure in my life. Wow. And I don't think y'all understand not having a father, how good it feels to just be called son and not being known as a criminal. I mean, I was known as a criminal in that world, but he entrusted me with his credit card, his phones, his all his personal items, and it feels so good to not be seen as that. Then it's so good to be able to go to Ireland for the first time, California. That's like a hood fantasy for me.
Hood fantasy. Joel.
Yes, sir.
Give a little bit about your story.
Well, my name is Joel. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Kentucky. And my mother and my father, during a moment of transition, sent me off for the summertime when I was younger to live with my uncle. And during that time, I ended up being molested by an older male cousin. So growing up, I constantly ran from the idea of being homosexual. I got involved with woman after woman, relationship after relationship as a result of that encounter.
Talk about what happened to your brother.
When I was 16, I lost my brother to suicide, and me being the only other person in the house when it happened, I found him the way that he was, and when I found him, he was stretched across his bed. There was blood everywhere. There was a shotgun in his lap, and the left side of his face was completely missing.
And what did that do to your heart and cause you to get into?
I became very depressed. I got involved with drugs and alcohol on top of the perverse lifestyle that I was already living. I gave up on life. I didn't care what happened to me. I just wanted it all to stop. I was tormented with nightmares and flashbacks and all of that during the day. It was really a bad time for me.
And talk about the praying mama, what God did with that.
My mother is a praying, Holy Ghost sanctified, tongue-talking woman. And she began to come in my room in the middle of the night, just praying for me and covering me in oil, speaking life with me, declaring the word over me, declaring the blood of Jesus to wreck my life. And God met me in those moments, and he set me free from the addiction, the alcohol, the perversion, the suicidal thoughts and attempts. God completely changed me and set me free. I'm a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, filled man, able to declare that the gospel of Jesus, that the same God that did it for me is in this room, and he can do it for anybody and everybody. In Jesus' name.
Right there. Every mom, every dad that's got a son or daughter that's not saved, lift your hand. Every mom and dad praying for a loved one. Every mom and dad is praying for a son or daughter. Lift your hand. Grandma, grandpa, you got grandchildren aren't saved. Lift your hand. Call their name out in this atmosphere. We say your sons and your daughters shall be saved. We say your son. Come on, call their name out. Call their name out. Come on, help me pray. Your sons and your daughters shall be saved. If he did it for Joel, he'll do it for your grandchildren. If he did it for him, mama, he'll do it for you. Now, if you believe that God is bringing your children into the kingdom, praise him at the already here. Praise him like it's already done. Come on, praise him like it's all. Give Jesus praise for your children getting saved, for your sons and daughters coming. All right, all right. I just felt prophetically to do that. Felt prophetically to do that. Larry, let's jump right into it. Your daddy was a deacon in the church. Grew up in a Christian family. Put the mic up to your mouth because I really want to make sure they get this. Your daddy was a deacon in the church. You grew up in a Christian family. But what happened? What happened between your dad and your mom?
When I was 16, my father murdered my mother.
And what did that do to your heart?
I had hardened it to church, to everything. I would go to church and just, like, do the motions because, like, I was a musician in my church. So if I wasn't there, music wouldn't get done. So it just really hardened my heart, you know.
Caused you to do things in college like what?
Oh, yeah, like drink. I drank a lot. After church, I would go out with my friends or go to a college party. My cousins were in college at the time. So I would go up with them and just drink and try to numb the pain.
Now, God did a work in your heart concerning your father. What was that?
So over time, God began to deal with me on forgiveness and daily. It was a daily thing. Like, it didn't happen overnight. I just chose to forgive.
Say it again.
I just chose to forgive and let it go.
One more time.
Just chose to forgive.
One more time.
Just chose to forgive.
Here's it at. Here's where we're going to wrap up right here. We're going to wrap up right here. Right here. God says, I want to give you beauty for your ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the only thing, listen, the Holy Spirit just made this so plain to me today. The only thing that can stop the trade is when you won't let others go. Part of your ashes is tied to the unforgiveness towards others and even unforgiveness towards yourself. That bitterness, that anger. The real issue may not be addiction. It might be a person you haven't let go of. The real issue, I know you're drinking a lot, but the real issue is not alcohol. The real issue is not cigarettes. The real issue is not who you're sleeping with. The real issue is what you didn't let go in your yesterday. God has beauty for you, but sometimes there's a sense of entitlement to hold on to your ashes, to hurt. His father killed his mother. And he was plotting how to kill him until God so healed his heart through his willingness to forgive that now he was willing to take care of the same father who murdered his mother. I couldn't think of anything more tragic. But I'm telling you, friend, if God can do it for him, God can do it for you. God can do it for you today. I want you to bow your heads. And we're getting ready to pray because God wants to do a divine trade today. God wants to do a divine exchange today. And I can remember in trying to forgive my father after 5 years not talking to him, being in the bathroom of the home with a wife that he had cheated on with my mother for many years. And being in that moment, the Lord said, I put before you death and life. You must choose. Now, in that season of my life, I had no idea that God had planned for me to rescue broken youth, to have a ministry that would touch the nations of the world. I had no idea where God was taking me. The devil was after me then to stop me from my today. There's an enemy after your tomorrow by trying to keep you hostage and keep you trapped in your today and trapped in your past. So today, we're going to say, God, we're giving it all to you. And part of the trading today is saying, God, I forgive. I forgive this person. I let go of the past. For some of you, it's, Lord, I forgive myself. I no longer hold myself hostage. If that is for you, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. Lift them right now. If God's speaking to you, lift your hand. Wow. Keep those hands lifted. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that there's a grace in this room today to set people free from their past. I ask, God, that you would give them the grace to call the name of the person that they're thinking about, who hurt them, who abused them, who affected them in a negative way. And I pray in Jesus' name that from their heart, they would say, Lord, I forgive this person. I forgive that person, and I let this go. God, you want them to have your beauty for ashes. You want them to have the oil of joy for mourning. You want them to have the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We release that for every hand that was lifted in this room. In Jesus' name, everybody shout amen.